in the Word, amen. It is good to be with you tonight. Lessons from a runaway slave here tonight, living in discernment, praise God. Well, I thank God the Lord knows exactly what we need, amen. And I thank God as we look at each and every one of us, of these little letters that I've been going through in this series, Living in Discernment, amen, that talk about the character and the quality that just can't wait, amen, that we need to put it into action immediately, urgently, hallelujah, living in discernment. There's some things out there today that if somebody's in danger, I thank God taking the gospel to them. We need to be in urgency about it. And I thank God here is that Bible study tonight, Lessons from a Runaway Slave, Living in Discernment. And it deals with reconciliation through forgiveness. And let me tell you something. You know what? I believe that forgiveness is possible, but I believe it is the most difficult thing and impossible without the help of Jesus Christ. With Jesus, you're able to accomplish anything, and especially with forgiveness, amen. And here is a story about forgiveness, amen, of a runaway slave that took off and found himself way off, out from Colossae, all the way over into Rome, where Paul was in a cell. And so this is a beautiful story. This is December the 15th, 2021, the 11th of Tevet, 5782 of the Hebrew calendar. As we look at this very series tonight, Living in Discernment, we talked about Jude, amen. And Jude dealt with responsibility, amen. I thank God, as we talked about it. Second John talked about love, amen. Love is the fundamental doctrine of the Christian faith, amen, as we see that. Then we looked at Third John as well, which is talking about influence, amen. We need leadership, and we need the doctrine of Christian faith, but leadership, it needs examples to follow, amen. And so I thank God. John tells us in 3 John that he tells us to choose the best ones possible as leaders, amen. And then now, here tonight in this series, Philemon, as we look at Philemon, that deals with reconciliation. Now, what is reconciliation? Reconciliation is the process of two people or groups that are in a conflict agreeing to make amends or come to a truce, amen. Reconciliation is one of the most wonderful things that involves how that we can confess our sins to Jesus Christ as we get down in our prayer closets on a daily basis, amen, as we come and go in and out before the church and say, Lord, I need you to forgive me because there's something that's in my life that I need to ask forgiveness of. Philemon, like the other three letters, here is one of those wonderful books, amen. Though its message is very clear, it details a present letter and a challenge of Philemon coming and a letter that Paul had sent to Philemon about a runaway slave, amen. And so I thank God as we look tonight in lessons from that runaway slave, living in discernment, amen, as we look at the characters that are involved. Now, look where the story unfolds of this letter. We start out, Paul is in Rome under house arrest for about 2 years. He writes to the churches of Colossae and Ephesus and Philippi. And I thank God as we look at that, we see way over here in Turkey, the modern day Turkey today, of Asia Minor, of Philemon, that is in Colossae. He receives a personal letter from Paul. Now, Paul's under house arrest, but all of a sudden, Philemon has a slave by the name of Onesimus, and he escapes or something happens. He goes and runs away, and all of a sudden, he comes all the way from Colossae to Rome, and he ends up and he finds, if that ain't God's divine intervention, I'm going to tell you nothing is, amen. And he hooks up with Paul, praise God. Now, I'm going to tell you, Onesimus, as I said, was a slave who had become estranged from his owner, a friend of Paul's named Philemon. Philemon lived in Colossae, which is in Turkey, and Onesimus eventually ended up in Rome. Maybe he had run away. Maybe he had been sent on a journey and decided to go AWOL. Either way, he ended up spending time with the Apostle Paul, and Paul led Onesimus to faith in Jesus Christ. Boy, ain't that a wonderful story? Reconciliation tonight. Philemon. It's the 57th book. If you're grabbing your copy of the scripture and you begin to look from the Word of God, amen, as we get it out and hold it in front of us tonight, amen. I hope and pray that as you get it, it's the 57th book. But you know what? Let me just tell you what's close by, and it'll be easier for you to find. If you can find the book of Hebrews, take a left, all right? And then If you can find Titus on the left, take a right. Now, what's next to Titus? 1 and 2 Timothy. 1 and 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. And so you'll find it that way, amen. It's the 57th book of the Bible. It's only one chapter. It's 25 verses. It's 445 words. And the author is Paul, amen. Probably more than you ever want to know about Philemon, amen. But I thank God. Here's the cast in the story of the Word of God. Paul in verses 1 through 9. Actually, that's actually verses 1 through 7. And then in verses 8 through 16 is about Onesimus. I put that on there wrong, and I just caught it, amen. But I thank God, last time we talked about verses 1 through 7. And the reason I did that, because it starts with Onesimus in verse 8. And I did that for a reason, amen. And so here's the cast of our story. The extras is Althaea, the wife, Archippus, the son, Timothy, Epaphras, Artichus, Archippus, excuse me, Demas, Lucas, Marcus, all of these are a part of this, but we might not get into all of them tonight. We started with some of them in the last time that we spoke on Wednesday night, verses 1 through 7. And so Philemon, his name means friendly. Onesimus means profitable, useful. Paul means small and little, amen. Between about 60-64 A.D. during Paul's Roman imprisonment, after his missionary journeys, he sent back to Colossae with Tychius and Philemon in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9, amen. Now, last time, in verses 1 through 7, we talked about Philemon, a refreshing saint. And we talked about some of the things about him. His life Godward, his life manward, but Philemon's commitments. Philemon was so committed to Christ that he was counted beloved by Paul himself. And Philemon was so committed to Christ that he was a laborer for Christ. And Philemon was committed to Christ that he rooted his family in Christ and that he opened his home to the church. Now, these are the four commitments of Philemon that I talked about last time. And I also talked about the appreciation of a mediator, not a negotiator. You say, man, I'm glad that every one of us had a mediator in our life, amen. Somebody that would mediate on our behalf. Jesus was the go-between. He was the paraclete. He was the mediator. He went, and because of what he did on behalf of us today, we have the right to eternal life because he paid the price before us that none of us could ever pay for ourselves. He did exactly what Paul did with the mediating between Onesimus and Philemon. And so there's the appreciation of the mediating, not negotiating, as I call it. And we talked about in verses 1 through 3, love. We talked about in verses 4 and 5 and down in verse 7 about thanksgiving. And then, lastly, we talked about prayer in verse 6 when we read these last time. Amen. Now, Paul said, I'm praying that the sharing of your faith becomes more active, operative, and energized than ever before. Amen. Now, how does this happen? How does your faith become more active? How does your faith become more operative? How does your faith become more energized tonight? Amen. How does that happen? Praise God. As your faith, listen, this is very good. Listen to this. As your faith begins to rest in the truth of who you are in Christ, you begin to allow him to live through you, and you put Christ on display in your dealings with others, and you become a modern-day Philemon. And I thank God as we learn our lessons tonight, each and every one of us has something that we're trying to learn from the Word of God, amen. And so each one of these things, as we talk about them tonight, as these were some of the things that we talked about last time, his commitment, his basic needs, the grace and peace of God that we talked about last time, and his testimony, verses 4 and 5, and his need for prayer in verse 6, but also verse 7 last time talked about love. But here tonight, December the 15th, as we look at, again, lessons from a runaway slave, part 2, as we look and realize that in these verses tonight, in verses 8 through 21, even though we won't make it down that far, only till about verse 16 tonight, even though that we stop at verse 16, this is a picture of a man greatly changed by Christ. It shows us the difference that conversion, salvation can make in all of our lives and just how we should receive a person who has been saved and converted by the marvelous grace of God. And remember, Onesimus was a slave and a thief. Few people who ever want to be seen with a slave, much less be known as a brother to him. Yet, this is exactly what we are about to see. No matter how low and base a person is, we're to reach out to them and do all that we can to bring he or she, that person, into the fellowship of Christ and the church. Amen. And so here, this is a very, very strong picture that we look tonight as we look at the story of Philemon that had a runaway servant by the name of Onesimus, whom Paul had led to Christ in Rome. And Onesimus had been changed by the power of the gospel and now ministering to Paul while Paul was in prison. And yet, he belonged to Philemon. And so, Paul's fellow laborer. And so, once Paul discovered the conversation that Onesimus belonged to Philemon, what was Paul going to do? How would he handle this with a fellow laborer? Amen. All of a sudden, we begin to realize that of all the things that we're looking at tonight, in verse 8, it may not be readily clear when you first read it, but as we define the words, it becomes abundantly clear that wherefore, though I might be much bold to enjoin thee that which is convenient, that is proper. Paul is saying, I could take the approach of intimidating Philemon because I know him very well, and I could try to persuade him that he needs to let Onesimus go, but no, he doesn't do that. I thank God. He doesn't do that because each and every one of us, our job, amen, is not to try to uprise a slave outbreak. We're to take the Word of God and we're to let that light shine and change people from the inside out, amen. We're to take the light of the gospel to the darkest places around on our jobs and in our neighborhood, and we're to let that light shine and let that light shine change people from the inside out, amen. I'm glad that I ain't got to go try to organize a prison break or this or that, amen. My job is the gospel today, praise God. And that is your job as well. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize that here tonight is a strong picture of a man that is changed by Christ. We're talking about Onesimus, amen. Onesimus tonight. Tonight, we're going to be talking about how Paul wanted to make a special request of Philemon in verses 8 and 9. In verses 10 and 11, we're going to talk about he was begotten and he's born again, amen. And then, in verses 12, 13, and 14, we're going to talk about how he was facing his past to right this wrong that had happened. And then, lastly, in verses 15 and 16, how much that Onesimus was a changed man when he got saved, amen. Boy, I thank God, hallelujah. And so I thank God, every one of us, tonight, we begin to look at verses 8 down to verse 14 about appealing to love and not obligation tonight as a subtopic that I look at tonight as we begin to read the scriptures tonight, that Paul wanted to make a special request of Philemon. Now, I thank God as we start out with that tonight, what does the Bible tell us? It says, wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Now, I tell you, every one of us tonight, as we begin to look and realize, Paul wanted to make a special request of Philemon, amen. Because what did he tell us? He says, listen, for this reason, I could be bold enough as your brother in Christ to order you to do what should be done. But Paul didn't want to do something like that. No. He had the right to demand that Philemon grant the request. You say, why? Why did he have the right? How can any believer, even a minister, demand that another believer do anything, especially if the believer differs or does not wish to do what is requested? There are two reasons. Number one, it's the right thing to do. Number two, it's a believer's duty to do it. Because you're not doing it because somebody told you. You're doing it because it's the right thing that the Bible teaches, is what I'm saying. A believer, no matter who he or she is, should always do the right thing, amen. The moral thing. He or she should do their duty, amen. And therefore, Paul had the right to make a special request of Philemon. But note, Paul did not demand that Philemon grant that request in this letter. Philemon should, but Paul did not demand it. Instead, he beseeched, that is, he appealed, he urged, he pleaded with Philemon because he loved Philemon. And I tell you, Paul based his plea upon three things that should appeal to the heart of every born-again believer listening to me teach this Bible study tonight. Paul based his appeal upon love, the love of Christ, and the love of believers for each other. That means that Philemon loved Paul as a brother in Christ, loved him enough to grant that request. Secondly, not only did Paul base his appeal upon the love of Christ and the love of believers for each other, but secondly, Paul based his appeal upon his age. He was apparently in his 50s, and no doubt his body was somewhat more aged than the average person because of the wear and tear upon his body from the suffering that had been inflicted upon him through the years. And then thirdly, Paul based his appeal upon the fact that he was a prisoner, for the cause of Christ. He had suffered so much in order to carry the gospel to the lost of the world, to people who were hopeless and lost, just as Philemon and his family had been. And so, because he was a prisoner for Christ, Philemon should grant his request. And so Paul was tired, he was worn, about to close his ministry and life upon the earth. And therefore, this would be the very last book that was ever written, because they were going to come get Paul and chop his head off. You say, boy, that don't sound too reassuring. Hey, in a moment, in twinkling, as that head dropped, he was in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And so therefore, he expected his dear friends to heed the last request. What was Paul's request? It was concerned about Onesimus, a former slave of Philemon, a slave who had run away to gain his freedom and had fled to Rome. And imagine Onesimus having just returned to Philemon and having handed this letter to Philemon. And Philemon standing there reading this letter. You know, I wonder, what was his thoughts? What was the impact upon Philemon, the slave owner who had been converted to Christ? What would he do now when he read this letter? As Onesimus is standing there, he produces it. He hands it to him. Before him, a former slave who had basically been broken the law by running away, doing something that a slave should never do. He broken the major law upon the Roman Empire that was built, that kept the peace by enslaving and scattering the people of conquered nations all over the world, breaking their loyalty to their homestead. Death was the punishment for runaway slaves. And so here we begin to realize that as he goes on, he tells us, he says, yet for love's sake, I'd rather beseech thee, being as one as Paul the aged. You hear? And now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And so I thank God here, Paul wanted to make a special request of Philemon. Amen. And so I thank God. But as we move on, we also see that he was begotten, or he was born again as well. Because here, when we get over into Onesimus, how a reclaimed slain slave, as this begins, notice I wrote that wrong. It begins in verse 8 and goes all the way to verse 16, amen. And so I thank God, Onesimus, I say Onesimus a lot, but it's the correct pronunciation of it is Onesimus. Onesimus. And I believe I put that in Facebook to kind of help you in the pronouncing, because some of these words in the Bible, oh my Lord, you just want to say, Bubba. You know, not no disrespect, you just say, I can't say that word. Boy, there's a lot of words that you believe are very challenging. But Onesimus, I get to saying Onesimus a lot of times and don't mean to, but the correct pronunciation is Onesimus, amen. And so I thank God here tonight, as we look and realize his miserable condition and his marvelous conversion as Onesimus is being reclaimed, amen. And so Onesimus was a changed man, a man who had been begotten, that he was born again and had been led by the Lord, by Paul. Paul was in prison, but Paul, I thank God, he come in contact with Onesimus. And so Onesimus, as he was recognized as a runaway slave while in Rome, in prison himself, no, he could have been, for he was not in prison. You say, how's that possible? Well, he met up with Paul, and all we know is that what a little bit the letter comes, because he wouldn't have never been able to go back to Philemon with a letter that Paul had wrote if that would have been the case. He had returned and was moving about freely, and he was now standing before his owner, Philemon, when Onesimus reached back and went to Rome, and he had most likely run across some Christian believers, and they had befriended him and introduced him to Paul, and then Paul led him to Jesus Christ. Now, Paul pulled no punches. He readily admitted the wrong that Onesimus had done and had been profitable. And the idea of all of this is that Onesimus had done something, he had got saved by the marvelous grace of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, as he changes our lives, how many of you remember when God changed your life for the very first time? He could take a useless, unprofitable, good-for-nothing person like me and make the most useful, profitable, good person imaginable. Amen. And so Jesus Christ, he could take nothing and make something out of any person, no matter. I'm still talking about myself. And so every one of us, somebody like me that's nothing, how low a person is, how far a person has sunk, how far a person has gone, what a person has done, it doesn't matter. Jesus can change their life forever, amen. Jesus Christ can change a person and make them the most useful person in the world. And Onesimus become profitable. He become useful, hallelujah, is what his name means. How? Jesus Christ begins to take a person and he creates him a brand new. Christ gives that person a brand new birth. Makes them a brand new creature, a new man, a new woman out of them. Boy, I thank God, what did John tell us? He said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Amen. Jesus Christ answered, he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. And so, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. That you put off concerning the former conversation. What? The behavior. He says, the old man he's talking about, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, as the book of Ephesians tells us, amen. But I thank God, every one of us, the Bible says, but now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, amen, after the image of him that created him. Now, what is that? That's Colossians chapter 3. Every one of us, right before you get to the little book of Philemon, you get to the book of Titus. If you're right there, you can flip right back over in the little book of Titus, and in Titus chapter 3, verses 4, 5, 6, and 7, listen to what it says. But after that the kindness of love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, not by works of right, which we have done, but according to his mercy. Listen, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Boy, I thank God, each and every one of us here was where Onesimus got saved, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize, he tells us in the Word of God, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, amen, as he tells us about. And then I thank God as he goes on, he tells us he's profitable, amen. But I thank God as I told you about this, let's go right on. If I can get that thing to go any further. A Savior on the reach, amen. Providence of God and the power of God and the provision of God. All of these are the things that as we become a brand new person in Christ, we have a Savior that is on the reach. Someone that we can lay hands on and say, Lord, I need you to touch my hand every day when I get up, Father. I need you to lead me and guide me. Let the Holy Spirit that indwells me as a born-again Christian, let it lead and guide me. Give us the providence. Give us the power. Give us the provision of God. Amen. Onesimus, as it tells us. Hallelujah. And so here was the begotten, the born again that it talked about. Amen. So the first lesson that gives us, he says, handle the situation with care. Each and every one of us all have got to be able to do that with care. And so how do we handle a situation with care? Several of us, as we look at Paul's letter to Philemon, and how that he used diplomacy in writing this. He writes about a difficult situation with dignity and sympathy and affection. Amen. And so I thank God for reconciliation to take place. You have to be an ambassador either on your behalf or on the behalf of somebody else. That's what reconciliation is. Paul never refers to Onesimus as a fugitive, even though that's likely what he was. The fugitive slaves were in serious trouble in that time and culture. And they often paid very harsh consequences for running away. They were put to death. But what kind of message would that send to the other slaves? Amen. Did he want them to think that if they run away, there would be no consequences? when you're trying to bring about reconciliation and you are trying to help somebody else out there between two people, when you're trying to reconcile with someone, you need to be aware of the obstacles that are involved, amen. You need to handle them very carefully. There have to be times that you work with maybe couples or somebody that's out there that are not getting along. Maybe there's some kind of domestic dispute who are trying to patch things up after something that took place. But I thank God of all of these things, that reconciliation, as you put yourself in their position and see the world from their point of view, amen, to find them and to restore them. That's what I'm talking about tonight. You need to help find that person that has got out of the will of God and help restore them. And that's exactly what Paul did. He mediated between Onesimus and Philemon, amen. And so as Onesimus means useful, Paul plays on words, and I thank God as he takes it and he begins to reconcile them two together, amen. He handled that situation with care. You're going to have to do the same thing, amen, as well. Each and every one of us, if we're trying to help somebody do the right thing, we're going to have to handle that very carefully, amen. And so Paul makes it very clear what he's asking Philemon to do by law, amen. And so I thank God as we look and realize here tonight, he goes on in verse 11, he says, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. Boy, I tell you, here is a great message that is involved for all of us. Because as we get ready to go on a little bit further into the Word of God, what is he telling us here tonight as he begins to go forward with this? He's talking about in verse 11, he says, at one time he was of no use to you, but now he's useful to both you and to me because he's a brand new creature in Christ. He knows Jesus Christ, and now he can be effective to you, Philemon. And so forgive him, put this behind him, and give him an opportunity to make things right, amen. And so I thank God, you know what? I'm glad that Paul didn't try to make demands on him, but he let Philemon make the choice of what he needed to do, amen. And so here as we move on tonight, that he got saved, that it talks about, amen, whom I have sinned again, he says in verse 12, therefore receive him. Notice what Paul is asking for Philemon to do of Onesimus. He says, listen, receive him that is mine own bowels. I thank God that he was telling. He faced his past in order to right his wrong. And this is clear evidence that the heart of Onesimus had been truly converted to Christ. He wanted to return and right the wrong that he had done. And Christ always does this to a person when he is truly converted and convicted of their sins and they change their ways. You know, Christianity is all about that, converting and changing the wrong and the evil in the world, changing it to a world of love and goodness and justice, amen. And so this dear slave was to Paul, as he says, he was sending a part of his own heart to Philemon. Paul loved this man who had been a lawbreaker and a thief. This slave had become dear and very dear to Paul's heart. He was so dear that Paul would have preferred to keep Onesimus with him because he was one that could go out and do some outreach now. He could go out and lead somebody to Jesus, praise God. He was saved himself. Paul was in prison, desperately needed Onesimus, needed his companionship and encouragement and assistance. But Paul would not ask him to stay. Why? Because Paul would do nothing without the consent of Philemon. Philemon, he just mediated this. And he needed to make things right. So Onesimus owned Philemon. And it was up to Philemon where Onesimus should serve. And where Onesimus would go as a slave to return and to serve. Either with Paul as a minister. But for this, it shows how Paul opened the door for Philemon to face Onesimus to be a servant of the gospel. Amen. The strength of Paul's wish is seen in his including Onesimus in the list of some great ministers who had been serving with Paul, that you can read over in Colossians chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. Paul elevated Onesimus so highly that he said that Onesimus could share exactly what they had been happening to them in the gospel through throng. All of those great men of God that we're going to list at the end of this, Marcus, Lucas, man, all of them, the family of Philemon, he listed them all right there with him, amen. A Christian believer is to make restitution, to right whatever wrong has been done. The first thing when you get saved is you try to go and make amends to everybody that you've wronged, amen. Now listen, there's going to be some folks that's going to be tough. They won't be able because if you've done something really bad to them, They're going to say, hit the door, Jack, and don't never come back no more, no more, no more, no. You know. And so, but no Christian should ever try to escape from making restitution, from righting whatever wrong has been done. If you wrong somebody, you try your very best. I know people that have done this, and they've come to me and asked me about this, and I told them, you need to go make some restitution, and if they won't accept it, then you've done everything that you can to go and make amends to that person that you've wronged, amen. The very cause of Christ upon earth is morality and justice, and to make the earth as good a place as possible, to teach and to charge as many people as possible to live righteous and godly lives, to weep the earth with the glorious gospel of love and care and the duty of one another to love and care for each other. If believers don't take their serious duty serious, amen, of their own personal wrongs and what value of Christianity, what is it all about today? And so I thank God, as Luke chapter 11, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 tells us, he says, and I say to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Boy, I thank God, even in the old book of Leviticus chapter 6, verse 4, the Bible says, then it shall be because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found. Buddy, I'm going to tell you, that's pretty much covered in detail right there. And so I thank God, as the proverb says in Proverbs 6:31, but if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. Even in the old book of Ezekiel, it said, if the wicked restore the pledge, give again that he hath robbed, walk in the statutes of life without committing iniquity, and he shall surely live and he shall not die. That is the word of God that you're listening to from the teaching of the word tonight, amen. As we continue to go forward, as here is a saint on the return, praise God. And so here he was begotten, he was born again. And as we go forward, as he says, whom I have sinned again, thou therefore receive him that is mine on bowels. Amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, there was a change in his direction and a doctrine of reconciliation that began to take place. Amen. And so here he was facing his own past to right his wrongs from what he had done. And so in verse 13, the Bible says, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. Amen. Well, I thank God, each and every one of us, when we look and realize how truly blessed that we are today, each and every one of us, and we go through life, what is he saying? He said, I would like to keep him here with me while I'm in prison for the gospel's sake, so that he could help me in your place. But I thank God, as he goes on in verse 14 in just a minute and begins to tell us these things, here we begin to realize that he faced his past in order to right his own wrongs, amen. And as we go forward to do this, the first lesson that gives us is help both parties come to their own decision to do the right thing, amen. You can't make a decision for other people, amen. You remember when you were in back in grade school and you'd get in a scuffle on the playground with somebody and then you'd get sent to the principal's office. Uh-oh, you're in trouble. Man, I'm going to tell you, what would he say to you? Now, you boys, I want you to shake hands, and I want you to start being friends from here on out. Other words, and so to speak, you kiss and make up, as they say. Most kids would rather take a beating than kiss and make up. Maybe you got a strong-armed kid, and all of a sudden, you know, they don't play well with others. You, all of us, as we look at situations where it's impossible to choose sides because of a particular church member was always complaining, always mad about something, a particular staff member, or always making someone mad, eventually they had a meeting about it. And where those two got together, that you would try to make amends between whoever it was and reconcile the differences between them, amen. You can't force people to reconcile. You can only lay out the options and give them the chance to do the right thing. And that's what Paul does, amen.
He says he's talking about the possibility that Onesimus would stay with Paul and assist him while he's in prison. But Paul gave Philemon a pretty strong hint about what he should do, that he left the ball in Philemon's court and he left the final decision up to him. And in the same, when you're personally trying to reconcile with somebody else out there, when you go to them and say, I want things to be right between us and I'll do what I can to make things right. Listen, but the final decision is up to them. You can't make them do the right thing. They'll have to want to do it on their own. Amen. And so it takes two people to reconcile, and you can't do it all by yourself. You can only do the best and create an atmosphere where reconciliation is possible for two people to work out their differences and to get together. Amen. After that, everybody makes their own decisions. And so here's the thing, as we look and realize as we go through life today, each and every one of us, he goes on, he says, but without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willing. Amen. Well, I thank God here as he tells each and every one of us, as he explains this in his letter, that he says, however, I do not want to force you to help me. Rather, I would like for you to do it of your own free will so that I will not do anything unless you agree. And so here is what Paul writes in this letter, and he sends it back with Onesimus, the runaway slave, from Rome back over to Colossae to Philemon. And here, as he gets to him with this letter, his runaway slave comes back home on his own with a letter written by Paul. He says, I want you to receive him. I want you to make amends with all of this. Amen. And so here he was facing his past to right his wrong. Amen. And so accepting a brother and not a slave, amen, is what he's talking about here when we get in verse 15 and begin to move just a little bit further, praise God. And so each and every one of us, as we go forward, that we've got brothers and sisters in Christ that are around us in, on our jobs, on our workplaces, amen. But here, Onesimus, that's profitable, that means useful. Onesimus, amen. What a change that he had experienced. He had been changed by the hand of God. That is, under the providence of God. And Paul tells Philemon that Onesimus had left for just a brief time so that he could return forever. God was overlooking and overruling the whole event for the sake of Onesimus, for the sake of salvation. Philemon was now able to be associated with Onesimus forever. The implication is both that they shall live forever with Christ, worshiping and serving Christ throughout all eternity together. What a change that he had experienced. He had been changed by the hand of God, amen. He had been changed from a slave to a brother, a beloved brother, amen. Here, Onesimus had left as a slave, but he was now above a slave. He was a beloved brother of great value to Paul and much value to Philemon. And the point is well made that when Christ changes a life, the life is changed eternally. Earthly relationships are changed forever. The changed person becomes a beloved brother. Maybe you've been praying for your husband for years and they've been lost and you just want things to be right. Maybe you're praying for a wife or a son or a daughter that you've been praying for years and you need to reconcile some things with them. That's exactly what this Bible study is about. Amen. It does not matter what the relationship has been. A master, a slave relationship, a friend, an enemy relationship, a victim, a criminal relationship, a love, a hate relationship, a marriage, divorce relationship, an abused, hurtful relationship. If the person has been truly changed by Christ, then he is to be received as a beloved brother. Why? Because God has put his hand or her hand upon the person and changed him or her forever. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Matthew 22:39. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. But this shall all men know, that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. In John 13, that he tells us. He says, this is my commandment in John 15, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Let love be without dissimulation. What? Hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. I thank God, each and every one of us, that's what the Bible teaches tonight, amen. And so I thank God as we come a little bit more into reading this, as he said, receive him, amen. We look at the Word of God and he says, for perhaps
He therefore departed for a season that thou should receive him forever. Amen. And then we get to our last one. Because of the change in his destination and the doctrine of reconciliation. Amen. We realize that he was changed completely from the inside out. And that's what we're about doing as men and women of God today. He said, lastly, reading verse 16, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Amen. I thank God. Reconciliation. Paul said, you receive this wayward slave as myself. So Philemon looked at his wife, Althea, and said, Althea, I want you to get the guest room ready. The guest room. I can't put him back down in those slave quarters now. I've got to bring Onesimus up here in another room. He's no longer what he was. He is a brother in Christ. I've got to receive him just like I would receive Paul now. And so he told the wife, he said, hey, Althea, he said, go get the guest room ready. Put him in the guest room, amen. See, that's what Jesus does for us, amen. Praise God. He takes us out of the pig pen and he puts us in the penthouse, amen. He takes us from the mire and he puts us up in the choir. Receive him as myself. There's another beautiful doctrine, the doctrine of substitution, because substitution is the debt of sin, and it deals with a debt of sin, hallelujah, that Paul says in verse 18. When we get to it a little bit later on next time, he said, I'm going to jump the gun. Put this on my account. Put this on my account. And we're not going to go any further tonight because that's it. But I praise the Lord tonight that God is going to bless us tremendously, because each and every one of us, as I get into that next time, God put everything on his account. Now, like Onesimus, everything that you're going to see, the problems and everything tonight, as he said, if thou count me, therefore, a partner, receive him as myself. Amen. But I thank God, as I put 17 on there and didn't mean to, but I thank God I'll be picking up with verse 17 next week and finished it up down to verse 25. But I thank God as we conclude tonight, like Onesimus, everything changes. Listen, let me back it up. When a sinner meets Jesus, their direction changes. He changes our direction. Instead of running from God, there is a pull toward God. He changes our description. He calls us son. He calls us saint. He changes our destination. Amen. No longer are we headed to hell, but now we're headed to heaven. Amen. Boy, I thank God. He changes our debt. Amen. Jesus paid our debt when he was on the cross. And when we trust him by faith, he applies his worth of righteousness to our account. And God receives us exactly as we would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith places us on the same ground as the Savior, praise his name. It gives us the same access as the Savior. And it puts us in perfect standing with God the Father, amen. And imagine the reception that old Onesimus may have received upon his return to being over in Colossae with Philemon, how that they have changed when the letter from Paul was read. Boy, I tell you, you could not set foot in the master's house without condemnation. But boy, I'm going to tell you, that was a blessing when that took place. Thank God for grace. Because of what Jesus did for us, God opened the door of salvation, and he received all of us sinners unto himself, and he set us free from our past. Thank you, Lord, for that grace. Boy, I thank God as we were singing that song tonight. I want to encourage you as I get ready to leave. Look for that song, boy, because he says, I'm undone by the mercy of Jesus, and I'm undone by the goodness of the Lord. I'm restored and made right. I've got a hold of my life. I've got Jesus. How could I want more? Man, if that ain't a good song, you check that out later on. Listen, you can preach a better sermon with your life than you can with your lips. This is Pastor Darrell Bennington. Thank you for tuning us in tonight about reconciliation as all of us look at lessons from a runaway slave, living in discernment tonight. Father, thank you for the wonderful privilege of being in your presence, Father. Lord, I thank God, Lord, as we just think about all the wonderful things that you have given us. You released us from a debt that we could not pay. And now, Father, tonight I can go, we can lay our heads down, we can rest knowing that you have done everything on our behalf and paid a debt for us. We were just an old slave to sin. Lord, we were just an old sinner. That, Lord, that we were bound down by the things of this old world. But, Lord, you came to the marketplace and you paid the price for us. We tried to run away and get away, but, Lord, we could never succeed without your help. You came and paid that price that released us completely, a debt that we could never purchase our own selves from this sin in this old world. But you paid a price, and you paid it in full on the cross of Calvary. Thank you tonight, Heavenly Father. Thank you tonight, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And Lord, we praise you tonight as we go our separate ways. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.